Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Well, we don't exist today.
I know. We lost so much weight that we just...
Like the Jimi Hendrix song, I don't live today.
I don't.
We're pre-recording the show.
Cheaters.
Never prosper. There's another show.
Cheaters never prosper?
Yeah.
It's March break in the Southern Ontario area here where kids have a week off school. So I haven't taken the March break off in a really long time. I thought I had never done it, but now that I think about it, I think I might have done it and gone to Georgia when my kids were much smaller. Now they're a little older, a lot more fun to travel with, that's for sure. So we're going to go on a little road trip, Cleveland, Toronto, and then up north, do a little bit of skiing, snowboarding.
Less diapers.
No, you don't want to go on a road trip with diapers. It's just not fun. We used to go camping with our kids. I'm thinking, what am I thinking going camping with kids?
Another 30, 40 years, you will be going with diapers again.
That's not going to be fun.
If you still have a license.
If I still have a license, what's a license to poop?
Well, license, when you get old, sometimes they'll take away your license.
I can't drive
anymore.
I know, that's sad but true. My dad's 84 and he's still driving.
That's good.
Should he be driving?
I don't know, should he?
Well, but he just went for his test there not too long ago. So what's today's show on?
Today's show is on, well, street life, living on the street, being streetwise.
There are many streetwise people, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And some people, I think you sometimes have to just be streetwise to a degree, even if you don't actually live on the street. You know, if you go visiting to some big city somewhere and you have to have some wits about you sometimes, hanging out on the streets, you know, just vacationing. You know,
absolutely.
Where you keep your money, where you keep your wallet, maybe that kind of thing. You wear a money belt, fanny pack, belly bag.
Belly bag.
Hat with a zipper inside.
Sure. Well, there's other, your joke, but that's part of being streetwise. When you go in some strange city, there's guys out there who are pickpocketers.
And especially know when you're a visitor. You know, a good street person is probably well aware when somebody is a visitor from out of town, you know, that kind of thing, and they hone in on you.
Yes.
And they know you have, you know, he's going to have money because, you know, he's traveling and he's going to have cash and he's going to have a camera maybe. Maybe it's in his pocket only. If he's got a, you know, the wife's got a purse or something with him, or he's got any kind of a bag, that's going to be some good stuff in there probably.
Yeah.
Video camera.
Yeah. And it's like the lions in the Serengeti. They just sit
just like
there.
That. Exactly.
They just sit there and wait, and they know exactly the right person to go for.
Person, not always the person, but I mean, they'll know the right animal. They know the weakest link, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I should have said target. Yeah, they know what the thing they should be targeting, because they've done it before, and they know that if they go after the fast one, they don't catch them. Go after the weak ones, the one that looks sick, the one unexpecting something to come out of the bushes.
Mm-hmm. The guy standing there with a map and a camera slung around his shoulder.
Yeah.
That's the guy you hit.
With the shorts.
Get him. Yeah, with the shorts in winter.
Winter, yeah.
With a map.
There's a lot of guys who do wear shorts in the winter.
Yeah, sure. Especially at work.
Yes.
Guys come to work all the time with shorts.
Yeah. And what do you attribute that to? To totally just digress into something.
Some guys maybe are warm in the plant. You know, sometimes it can be warm depending on the area that you're in, I suppose. And I don't know why they wouldn't, you know. I see a lot of guys come with, you know, fully clothed and then pull their pants off and they have shorts underneath even in work. Like,
oh, I've seen that too. And then that I can understand. But there's the guys who just walk in every day with shorts.
Yeah. You know, I have a friend that does that a lot in the wintertime. And I'm not really sure why. I think maybe just because it's warm for him.
Okay. Comfortable.
Yeah. And comfort.
I wish I could wear shorts all the time. But
tight shorts. Old tight Adidas shorts. Tennis shorts to work.
Yeah. That ain't going to happen these days.
Just for the pictures.
Just for the pictures. I got a picture of my buddy Craig, actually. He put him up on Facebook, and he's got a parallels I have to show you.
Oh, from the old days or recent?
From the old days, yeah.
I'd like to, actually, if I could find a pair of those somewhere now for some pictures, that'd be sweet.
They're kind of like silky, sort of.
Especially while I've got the sides happening.
Yeah. Got the sides? Oh, the sides, yeah. That's nice.
I was going to mention something else about pictures.
we went to the Apple store yesterday at Partridge Creek, and I wanted you to send me pictures when you get them off your camera or whatever.
They're on my Flickr account.
Are they up somewhere? Yep. Send me a link. Sure. Maybe you have.
You should have. Do you have a Flickr account?
I think I may, but I don't know.
Okay. I'm Lippo on Flickr. If you want anybody.
Just go there and search.
Yeah. If you're Flickr, you want to search for somebody, search for Lippo.
Okay.
And you'll see all my pictures.
There you go.
And I just actually started just uploading. I got a new upgraded account. You can just throw everything up there. I'm getting off my .Mac. I'm quitting that.
Oh, yeah?
Enough's enough with that.
There's no need for that, really, is there? I don't understand why there would be, really, except for your .Mac email address is kind of neat, but...
You know how many email addresses I have? I would like to actually shave a couple off. I wouldn't mind.
But as far as its functionality or what it does?
It's not worth the money.
Maybe makes it easy for some Mac people, but you're well beyond that.
I think I'm well beyond that, yeah.
Beyond iWeb as well. That's a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. Actually, I got used to it last night. Just kind of whipped through it and zing, 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 boop, ba.
Zing, zing what? iWeb?
Putting the Easy Mac show up, yeah. Oh. It's no fun, though. There's a better way, and I will get to it. But anyway, back on the street.
Back to the street. Let's go. So what about the street? Living on the street, hanging on the street. You know, show's not maybe only about living on the street and being streetwise. Want to cover some other topics like hanging out on the street, musicians on the street, busking when the carnival comes to town, panhandling, scamming, how to get food on the street. Sure. We're going to teach you all that today.
Right. Now, when you were a teenager, did you hang out much? Like hang out?
Oh, yeah. On the street.
On the street, yeah. That's what we did too.
Downtown.
You went downtown?
We were the kings of downtown at one time. Actually, I would be at the mall more than like that when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. But when in the early days of being in a band and the whole hometown hero thing going on, we were downtown a lot, like out in the streets constantly.
Cool.
And then in the early years of biking too, the motorcycles, we'd always have them parked downtown and we'd be hanging out in the street and stuff like that. And yeah.
So what kind
of ruled the streets at one time?
You learn stuff. That's when you learn a lot of life's lessons, when you're out and about and you really intermingle with society, and there's a certain attitude you want to give off, and there's a certain, you know, what's that word, you know?
Prowess,
savoir-faire, or something like
it's
that.
It's everywhere. I'll make mincemeat out of that mouse. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Save for the cartoon show.
So what kind of things do you think you learned when you were a guy in the street? I mean, you know.
Well, I was pickpocketing and panhandling.
No,
and
you weren't. No. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, though. Just...
We learned where everything was. Where's all the nook and crannies?
That's
where's
what I'm
all the crevices?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about the chicks.
No, you're talking about where can I hide something?
Where can I hide something? Where can I hide?
Where can I hide?
You knew all the alleys, you know, knew the little staircases and stairways and between the buildings things. And
yeah,
you knew, you know, at some point you're going to, well, you might make some friends that hang out that you didn't know before or something. Right. And you know, they might know something or somewhere. You know, if you're into getting high and stuff, then, you know, you might meet people like that and go hang out. And, you know, you might know somewhere where to bring a bottle and hang out with some people where you're not going to get caught.
Right. Now, what about the cops? What was your relationship with the cops when you're out on the street?
Well, I was an informant at the time.
Okay. How much does that pay again?
I did it for free.
Oh, you did it for free?
Yeah.
And you're in the witness protection program right now. What was your first name? What was the name you had before you were
Jeff? Oh,
it was Joe.
Yeah. Joe Robert.
Joe Robert, the rat.
It was my relationship with the cops. I'm sure they've seen us downtown all the time, but no, I never had any problems or anything. A lot of friends that did, and hanging out, you know, on the streets and peeing on cop cars and things like that. And
exactly.
Sometimes they get caught, sometimes they wouldn't, but they did things like that, and I wasn't really into that. I wasn't more into hanging out and what could I get here, what could I get there, you know.
Sure.
Hang out with friends, go to some stores and restaurants that we'd hang out at all the time, and people get to know you and say, oh, you guys can have this, or you want this, or, you know, and that kind of thing went on all the time. So that was kind of cool to hang out in that respect. But then again, that's not necessarily only on the street. It's inside the place downtown on the street. But
yeah, but that's sort of the same thing. Yeah.
It's all part of it when you're getting something for nothing or hanging out just any place.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When you don't really have any, there's no motive or reason or anything just to be someplace, but it's only hanging out.
Yeah. What I was thinking is that a lot of your friends are hanging out with you. There's on one end, there's the guy who doesn't want to be hanging out at all. but he wants to be with this group of people. Mm-hmm. So his motivation there is just, when can we go home? kind of thing. But then there's all different other motivations. There's like you, who's the guy who, how much stuff can I get from here, there, everywhere, just from my experience of being on the street? Then there's the guy whose motivation is chicks. Is another thing. You know, I'm going to, you know.
That was the thing with the mall. You'll hang out at the mall and there's chicks there all the time. And we met people all the time. And I remember so many times meeting girls and walking them home, holding hands and everything when I was just young. And yeah, all the time. And sometimes you'd meet them again. Sometimes you never would or whatever. But that's, we do that. And I'm like, I think back now and I'm like, how can you even do that? You can do that today. Let's, you know, well, I'll walk you home. Like, and
did you get a kiss when you left them? Or?
There may have been a time or two. I can't really recall anything like that. Like I was, you know, just young and a kid kind of thing. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I remember girls like that for sure. They were just.
It was like almost more about hanging out than almost too young to try and get anything. You know what I mean? Exactly. And then I had friends I would hang out with in malls and stuff like that would steal all the time.
Exactly. That was the other motivation thing that I was going to get to. There's the guy who wants to hang out. There's the guy who wants to see who he can get. Then there's the guy who's into causing trouble, like getting into trouble, stealing cars or stealing stuff.
Yeah,
or
we used to do things like that too, and that was sort of a hanging out and on the streets thing. And we go to areas where subdivision areas and stuff that were really packed in with places and houses, and we'd break windows and smash things, and people would get caught once in a blue moon. I mean, I never did, and I had buddies that lived you know, close to Riverside Drive, and mm-hmm. There would be scattered all over the ground was the chestnuts. Mm-hmm. We used to throw those things at cars, and we got chased all the time, and I've had friends get caught doing that too. And, you know, but those are the kind of things that you do on the street.
Right. Boredom.
Yeah. On the streets. And when you think about, we'll get more into living on the street, but being on the streets and stuff like that, that's a lot of it is mischief mm-hmm. and troublemaking.
Sure.
You know, those kinds of things, because you're there really for no reason. There's nothing to do, or you're bored, or you're just hanging out.
Right.
And those are the kinds of things, like, what do you do when there's nothing to do and hang out, you know, especially kids, they come up with all kinds of things. Let's blow up frogs. Let's
oh, you did that too.
All kinds of things like that.
We blew up frogs for sure. And there's, if you're with a group of guys, I think a lot of it has to do with the pecking order. Every guy tries to, well, not every guy, but there's always the two or three guys who want to always be listened to. Mm-hmm. I'm the head. I'm making the, if there's got to be a group decision, I'm going to be the guy who make it. Yeah. And so his actions will try to get him to that point, you know, mm-hmm. so the other guys will respect them. So that's, I'm just thinking of the motivation of all the kids hanging out on the street.
And what about when you're forced to live on the street for real?
Right.
I've had, I've known people, but I've had a particular friend that to his parents, he was, you know, a little bit, troublesome, you know, was kind of forced to move out and didn't really have anywhere to go. And, you know, when you're younger, you know, everybody else kind of lives with their parents and you can't really be taken in. You know what I mean? You don't really have anywhere to go. So we'll come back and talk about, you know, actually having to, you know, being forced to live on the street.
Right.
You need more Big JD? Visit the website, www.bigjd.com.
If you've been to the WKBR website at wkbr.ca, you will have noticed the explicit content warning. Some shows in WKBR may contain explicit content. Therefore, it is advised that you be 18 years of age or older to listen, or have adult consent. Please note, however, Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show and the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo do not contain explicit content and therefore are exempt from the explicit content warning. All ages are welcome for any shows hosted by Big JD or Big JD and Lippo.
Okay, we're back, and we wanted to talk about being forced to live on the street. Especially at a young age.
Sure.
You know?
Yep. My brother Dave was kicked out of the house when he was 15.
Did he have to resort to living on the street at all? Or did somebody take him in? Or did he?
There was a few nights where he broke into cars and slept in back seats and stuff like that.
Yeah. And those are the kinds of things that you have to, you know, and you may not be a person that would ever do that kind of thing.
Right.
But when you're put in that situation, you have to resort to something like that. You're breaking a car to sleep. You sleep in apartment doorways.
Yeah.
Maybe, especially in the wintertime when it's where it's warm sometimes in a doorway to an apartment building or something. You might find it, you may sleep in a garbage bin because there's no wind hitting you.
Yep.
Like it could be just about anywhere.
Sure. You get a big cardboard box, put it on top of the garbage, and you lay on top of that.
There you go.
And if you get another big piece of cardboard, you can put that on top.
Speaking from experience. You ever sleep in a garbage can?
I've never slept there myself.
Or been thrown in one?
No. But I've seen people in them.
Yeah. I've seen people inside them, alongside them, under them.
Sure. But then there's the people, the homeless guys that are, I remember going to Toronto not too long ago, and there's a guy on the corner. He's got lots of blankets. He's got his cart of some kind with him, his belongings. He is passed right out. There's a puddle of something next to him.
Probably his whiz.
Probably. But then, so I was leaving our hotel going downtown. And then when I came back, he was standing there with his schlong out and he was peeing on the pole right next to where all this stuff was.
Wow. Like right next to his house.
Right next to his house. He's peeing next to his house.
Go down the street and take a pee.
He'll sleep on the other corner the next night. But that's resorting to nothing. And a lot of those people, I have to suspect, are just sick and tired of their situation that they're in, and they'll panhandle for money to get rid of their problems by drinking.
Mm-hmm. Now, for a lot of them, that's what it ends up being, is about the drugs and the drinking and that kind of thing. Or, you know, that's ruined their life maybe, and they are put out on the street, don't have anywhere to go. I would think that maybe a lot of them go and pick up a check somewhere at some time and just blow it on other things and can't live under a roof anywhere.
Right.
But I wonder, are there people that have nothing and don't get anything from the government, period?
Sure.
Can the government turn people away and say, I can't give you anything at all? You can have nothing. You can't stay anywhere. You can't have a dollar. You can't have a cup of coffee. You're on the street.
No.
I don't think the government can just, you know, legally just turn you away totally.
No.
You may have to get legal aid to make sure that, you know, I don't know how that works really, but
it's different in every place.
Yeah, I guess. And US and Canada are, you know, and I don't know that our big Canadian cities are even touch what it's like in the USA, in America. There's so many people and the cities are bigger and there's so much,
Toronto's not, it's got its fair share.
I would imagine so. Yeah. And BC and
Vancouver's got its fair share too,
with the bigger cities and where there's more going on and
the big cities. I'm not sure why homeless people go there. Maybe that's just because there's more people there to panhandle from. You see more people in the big city to panhandle from.
You may think from here, like, you know, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't really have any money. This is not a big city here where we're at.
No.
You know, I'm going to move out west and hang out in the street there and meet some people, find somewhere to stay maybe, panhandle on the street, steal, beg, whatever.
Right.
And how about stealing and begging, like scamming on the street?
Sure.
Stealing. That's part of being, you know, you say street wise. They are wise on the street to a degree, but it's, you know, that's all just in context to living on the street.
Right.
And, you know, it's not necessarily a wisdom, but it's wise for their lifestyle.
Their situation they're in.
And what is meant by that being street wise is knowing how to take care of yourself on the street, knowing how to live, how to get by, and that's what is meant by streetwise.
Yeah, there's a whole system that's involved with it, and you'd learn that system and how to beat it. Whereas you're not going to, whereas normal, you know, people who live in houses and stuff, there's a system they got to live by, and you never beat it.
Yeah, if we just got tossed out on the street all of a sudden, you know, there's a learning curve.
Yeah,
you know, somebody's going to take the shirt off our back, or somebody's going to do this, or somebody's going to take what we did leave with, you know what I mean? Until the point you have nothing and you have to learn how, what cars you can get into, what neighborhoods or areas you could go to do whatever,
right,
what areas to stay away from, mm-hmm, because of maybe gangs or policing, where to scam food, how to scam food.
Sure.
How to get a wallet out of somebody's back pocket.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff you got to know. As far as the food thing goes, I think in the big cities, a lot of those guys, late at night, they go to the bins behind the
restaurants and stuff where things get thrown out. And
exactly.
You need cigarettes, you go through garbage or alongside of the street or in front of a bar, I would imagine, is a good place to find cigarette butts and things, or behind it. You know what I mean?
I don't know, but a lot of homeless people, I think they give up the smoking. When I think if they were presented with one, they'd say they take one. But
I think they find butts everywhere.
Yeah, and they just keep smoking.
Yeah,
I can't afford to smoke.
If they can't find any, then they're not smoking. But I don't, you know, they're not buying it, obviously. But I'm sure that you know. But then there's a lot of guys on the street that come up to you, say, "You got a cigarette? Yeah, cigarette.
Sure.
Yeah, cigarette.
Good."
And so that's why I carry cigarettes around, just in case somebody
just to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to be confronted.
But I give people money sometimes. You come out of a store or a variety store, and once in a while, it was just recently, I came out of the store and there was a guy sitting down and he was begging for money, like, you know, when you walk out of the store,
sure,
that kind of thing, or when you walk in. And I don't think that they knew he was outside, but I guess he comes around there. You know what I mean? They know because I asked them. I paid for gas with a card,
mm-hmm,
on Olette.
Okay.
I paid for gas with a card, and then I had a $10 bill, and I didn't want to give him the whole thing. But so I asked for change. I said, you know, can you give me a five and some loonies or whatever, mm-hmm, for my 10 so I can give some to the homeless guy out front of your store? And he goes, oh, he's here again. So I gave him a couple bucks when I went out.
Oh, he's here again. Can you kick him out after you give him the money?
Yeah. So he got a couple bucks, get himself a coffee, a couple coffees, whatever.
Whatever.
It's not bad. Do that all day and it works out pretty good, maybe.
Maybe. I'm thinking that the money that a lot of homeless people get, don't use it on life's necessities.
Well, they should. Exactly. Right. Of course.
I think most of the money goes to
the, you know, they'd store. Even take that, the $2, and ask somebody if they could buy a few cigarettes off them. You know what I mean? That's where it goes.
Yeah. Stuff that's just no, like, good for them.
A lot of people that you know of that are on social assistance and welfare and things like that, their money goes on beer, cigarettes, bingo, Taco Bell.
Lottery tickets.
You know they're eating at Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. We had a lottery ticket yesterday.
Yeah. And, absolutely.
And there wasn't any homeless people in that Partridge Creek.
Not in that neck of the woods.
No. Actually, there was no people there.
No. That's not going to last. It can't.
It can't.
I can't see it.
Not like that.
They have to do some heavy promoting. Every day has to be a grand opening day.
Yeah, exactly.
For them to be that busy.
In the summertime, though, it would be nice.
Yeah. But then again, in the summertime, I mean, granted, it may be a little closer than some of them, but in the summertime, I would rather go to one of the big outlet places rather than just the mall where everything's going to be much more expensive in that little mall than going to like Birch Run or a real outdoor thing, you know, not an outdoor mall. I go to the mall.
I'll go to the mall.
I even go to Great Lakes Crossing before that, honestly.
Great Lakes Crossing.
Oh, that's okay. Where Apple Store should be.
Really?
They should have put it in there.
I know.
They got Bose and they got all the good stores, a lot of them in there. And their prices are much better there than in a regular mall, too.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
So, back away from this. We got back away from the living on the street thing to malls and spending and shopping and
hoity-toity
Taco Bell.
You know, when I went to San Francisco, which has a ton of homeless people, mm-hmm, downtown, it's just crazy. It's the worst I've ever seen in any city. Been to L.A., Boston, New York. San Francisco is by far the most homeless people I've ever seen congregated in one place. But when I went out to the Haight-Ashbury area, mm-hmm, there's still some homeless people there, not as many, but what you see, I saw three times, was food left out.
Mm-hmm.
Like one was a piece of cake was sitting on top of a newspaper stand, and I was walking up towards a guy, and one homeless guy grabs the cake and he goes to another homeless guy standing, is this yours?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, no, and he just took it with him. Then I saw
you should have ran over there, that's mine.
No. Then there was a piece of pastry mm-hmm, just on the ground. Just sitting like right on the corner, too.
Yes, you know what? This is what I'd do. I'd put that out there and be filming from inside somewhere.
Oh, yes. And someone will pick
it up. Get the footage and then put it on YouTube.
And then there was an actual dish of some kind, like cabbage rolls or something, sitting on top of something else.
Well, somebody's really mocking, making a mockery of the whole thing.
I don't know.
Set out some food.
It's a whole different atmosphere.
A wallet with a dollar in it. Stuff like that.
I think everybody's just helpful. There's a free clinic there.
Empty chocolate bar wrapper.
Empty chocolate bar wrapper. With some crumbs and the smell of chocolate.
No, I mean a street entertainer, the empty chocolate bar wrapper.
He's a Mr. Play.
We'll take a break. We'll come back to a little interview. Then I also would like to talk about panhandling, music on the street kind of thing. And even when when the carnival comes to town.
Hey, Big JD here. Just want to let you know that you can go to www.bigjd.com. Find out more information about all the shows that I currently host on internet radio stations and podcasting.
Are you interested in becoming an online radio DJ? Did you know that you can DJ from any place in the world with a broadband connection? Would you like to host a show of your own? Contact the station manager here at WKBR, WKBR.ca.
You're listening to The Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo on WKBR.
I talked to a few people about a couple of places where homeless people would go, like street help, mm-hmm, place.
Yep.
And, you know, they'll give you a sleeping bag If you're homeless and it's yours, they just give it to you, and you know, you don't have nowhere to sleep, but I mean, at least you're kind of in a bed. Like, you could take that in an alley if you want, but you're going to be covered up to some degree.
Well, this whole sleeping bag for the homeless thing really sparked my interest. So I actually contacted the Street Health Homeless Initiative organization and spoke with Candace.
Now, Street Health is a nonprofit organization geared to aiding homeless or at-risk population. Welcome to the show, Candace.
Thank you for having me.
The first thing I wanted to ask you about, which I thought this was pretty amazing, and I had heard nothing about this before, that if a homeless person needs, I guess, a blanket or sleeping bag, you help them with that.
We surely can. We're one of many of the agencies in the city that do assist in the same way, but we make sure that we always have sleeping bags, blankets, warm clothing, whatever the need be, on hand in our office to take care of those that come to the door asking.
That's great.
Yep.
That's what really struck me with the whole thing. And then, of course, we were doing the show on Streetwise, street living, homeless, and things like that. And I thought it was an opportunity for somebody to be able to get something like that that's, doesn't have it or is underprivileged like that.
Yeah, we quite enjoy the opportunity to give these to the people when they need it. And we must also put thanks out to the people that donate to our program so that the people can receive these sleeping bags and blankets.
Right, and a nonprofit organization or clubs do rely on that sort of thing. So
right.
It's very important. Also, I noticed that you're in association with the local Teen Health Center.
Has been in... been in Windsor for many years. The inception of Dr. Ken Jaggs, Reverend Ken Jaggs, at one time many years ago, looking to do something for the homeless and streetwise kids that were out there in the the 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And this Teen Health Center itself is a community health center that serves a strict 12 to 24 age limit with its medical and counseling and 40-odd some services that it provides. Street Health itself is about 10 years young and was also the inception of Dr. Jaggs and a couple of other people in the community who wanted to look at attending to some of the needs and necessary things that youth needed. What happened is we found out that there is a huge population out there that also is outside that age range. And what we have basically done over the years has allowed for all ages to come to us for assistance. We do not limit the age group.
And what about the social aspect? Is it also someplace, Street Health, where a homeless can come and hang out? Do you maybe have coffee? Is there TV? Or is there anything of that nature?
Not our site in particular. We're a little small for that. We run right now in a very crowded, newer building, which we moved to in March of 2007. We're already here. We're as far as social activities go, maybe just the often chance that they'll run into somebody that they know and then can sit in the waiting room and talk to them. We have two nurse practitioners that are here to provide medical services to the people. We have a foot nurse who's here also to take care of any of the problems with the feet.
Mm-hmm.
We have three workers, including myself, that assist with replacement of identification and precisely health cards to begin with. Everybody needs an Ontario health card to access health care in this province, and we make sure that no one goes without. We have a hygiene program and a laundry program that runs out of a different site. Now, that is situated at the Downtown Mission, which is just across the back alley from us.
Mm-hmm.
And there they do have an open dining concept room where the people can stay and play cards and chat and have coffee and donuts and things like that.
Okay.
So we don't duplicate services of other agencies that are already providing those services for the people.
Right. And is there help for people through the night? Or if they were to get a blanket or sleeping bag or something, say, would they just still kind of on their own of
where to go?
Well,
we're very low in facilities in Windsor with actual shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, one is the Salvation Army, which provides sheltering for majority of men. Women can also access the Welcome Center. What happens is those beds fill up pretty fast. There is the Downtown Mission, who has what they call overnight care, or I can't think of a better word for it, but a place to stay when you can't find anything, when
right.
the doors are closed at the other other places. And basically, they'll provide you with a warm place to sleep and any of the things that you might need to take care of yourself at that time. Mind you, it's not permanent.
Right, yeah.
And as far as anywhere else in the city, there are a few establishments that are run, possibly not as known well to us as we should, probably.
There are times when you probably help a lot of people find someplace where they can go for things that you might not provide directly.
We ourselves do not have evening hours at this time. We run strictly 9 to 5 through the day. We're closed on the weekends. But from me speaking with my supervisor earlier today, it looks like that those hours may change in the very near future. What I would like to say, though, all the community health centers in the Erie-St. Clair region are looking at a lot of fundamental changes to their practices in the upcoming months. So our hours probably will change and possibly opening on the weekend also.
Okay. That's something I'm sure a lot of people will be looking forward to. I thought it was interesting, and something that somebody might not think of off the top of their head, is that your nurses and care people there and some of the things that you provide are so specific for folks that are homeless or have nowhere to go or that are wandering the streets, like a foot nurse.
Right.
Which would be very important for somebody that's probably on their feet a lot.
Yeah, that's a job that not everybody wants to do.
Sure, I can imagine. But
she's really well respected. She sees quite a few clients, and all of them do enjoy the service that she provides. And she'll see to it that they get clean socks and referrals out to the proper doctors and feet people out there.
You provide help for maybe finding lost ID and the health card thing and things like that. And do you also provide any aid with helping individuals maybe to be able to obtain social services or in any way look for work or direct them with any help or aid of where they can go to
find
these things?
We are closely partnered with the Ontario Works Social Services Program here in the city. A large majority of our clientele that are sent here for ID replacement are those coming from the social services area. What we have set up, and we have been doing for well over a couple of years now, is Ontario Works workers, the intake workers, will meet with their clients. And at that time, they will discern whether or not a client is in need of ID. The first thing that they'll usually do is refer that client back to us. We have a program set up where they assist us with the ongoing costs of ID replacement. But first and foremost, like I said earlier, is that our mandate is to make sure that everybody has a health card. Now, those don't cost a cent, but it is often the problem of our homeless and transient people that they don't have a permanent address. With Ontario Works and the healthcare system, they require an address in order for a person to receive a social assistance check and health care.
Right.
So one of the things we do, and we have set up with the Ministry of Health for many years now, is basically a system where we supply the client with a letter that says that we are assisting them with replacement of their ID, specifically their birth certificates and or their social insurance cards, and that we will loan them our address, our office address, for a temporary time so that it will assist them with getting their health card replaced. So at least they have a temporary on them to carry right away, and that they will be able to receive their actual green health cards within like 3 weeks so that they can access the health care. Now, that's temporary, and it only and it's binding with the fact that the person is seeking the assistance with getting their rest of their ID replaced. It's a real symbiotic relationship we have with them.
Yeah, that's great. You have relationships with a lot of different areas and avenues that, you know, will help the same people. And that's obviously a great thing. Do you guys have any specific events that you hold, like maybe through the year at all, or to raise funds?
Sure. We partner with the Homeless Coalition here in Windsor and several agencies and members that belong to it. Whereas that in, I believe it's October, we participate in the Homeless Awareness Soup Kitchen. There, many of the agencies that provide to the people get together, set up their booths with a lot of interesting articles and information about the services they provide, and also provide soup and sandwiches to those that might want a bite to eat. And it's just a good day for everybody to get together and just network. Everybody gets to know who does what, and also helps the people, you know, that are looking for those services.
Do you find that you'll see a lot of the same people for a length of time, or do you find that maybe a large portion of them do use this as an opportunity to help themselves? And
I would say the majority do use it as a springboard for moving up the social ladder, as, mm-hmm. As we could say at one point. They are looking for the basic necessities in order to make that next step. A lot of our clients are also people that are habitually homeless, mm-hmm. or transient within provinces, and that we do see from time to time. We have some clients that are just basically friends, we could say, and that come in and from time to time require some replacement ID or need use of some of our services, but most of the time they're just coming in to say hi, thank you, whatever
right.
they've got on their minds.
Unfortunately, we're a little more limited in this interview, as I'd like to, you know, maybe do one for my You Talking to Me show at some time, which would be, you know, a longer discussion. But
that would be a pleasure.
It was pretty interesting, though, that you mentioned, and as we mentioned in the show today, actually, of some of the homeless folks that might wander between provinces and things like that.
Right.
I guess they maybe get around a little bit and use some of the resources, I suppose, that are offered in the different cities, maybe, and I guess that would maybe fall under sort of the streetwise area.
Right.
If it's habitual, they kind of know how to make the system work for them, I guess.
Yes.
And I just want to know if there's any statistics that you're aware of. Or, I mean, are there any numbers that you might have for amounts of homeless people, maybe in our province or the city itself even? Or
you know, there is no real calculated stats that I have on the whole. We keep statistics for our own programming that we run. I can tell you for a fact that Street Health itself, within all the programming that we do, saw well over 5,000 people last year.
Wow.
We do see a lot of people coming back to us for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, again, a lot of them are the ones that are using our laundry services, our hygiene services, as an ongoing assistance for making do.
And I guess it's a tough call with the statistics that you'll come up with, because, I mean, you may get a portion of that off the streets, but then there's probably a whole new generation, so to speak, that there's always going to be a need for what you do. So
exactly. We're seeing a lot of young moms. Young single moms.
Right.
We see a lot of single dads, too, which has come up, and a lot of working poor also.
Maybe you could mention for our listeners where you're located and any contact info.
Our office is situated at 711 Pelissier. That's Unit 4. Maybe I should spell Pelissier. P-E-L-I-S-S-I-E-R. That's 711 Pelissier, Unit 4. That is downtown Windsor, one block west of Olette Avenue and in between Elliott and Wyandotte Streets. Our phone number to contact us is 519-252-3777. We're here Monday to Friday from 9 to 12 and 1 to 4:30.
Do you have a specific website that's through the Teen Health Center site or your own website or anything?
We have, I think, a short blurb on the program through the teenhealthcenter.com site address. We are looking for some knowledgeable person with a great skills in building web pages to come and help us possibly set up our own. But at this time, nonprofit organizations,
exactly.
Those kind of are hard to find.
Okay.
But we're putting the call out there if anybody wants to.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
A little plug for some web designing.
Right.
And the Teen Health Center, of course, www.teenhealthcenter.com. That's CENTRE.com. And you could probably find some information on Street Health Homeless Initiative. And in case anybody's interested maybe in donating or just more information for somebody that they might know even, I certainly appreciate your time in talking to us here on the Jabbercast. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Very interesting woman. Very caring. That was Candace from Street Health here in Windsor.
Cool. I'd like to break up the show with some outside conversation, not that we can actually have people call in or anything.
We need to do that. That would be cool.
Once we get that building with the radio station.
There you go.
With the internet radio.
Okay. He's mocking me.
No. I'm not mocking.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the panhandling, music on the street, even, you know, selling things and panhandling garbage whatever. But
sure.
So a musician on the street, maybe some of them are homeless, maybe not, but it's a way for them to make some money. And some of them probably make half decent money playing a guitar on the street with, you know, seen them with the open case or sometimes the phony blind guy with a cup, but
the phony blind guy.
But what kinds of musicians have you seen on the street? I've seen saxophone players. I've seen flute players. I've seen bongo players. I've seen drummers with a drum kit, just drumming by himself.
Yep.
I've seen stick beaters on upside down plastic pails and stuff, all kinds of stuff. Have you seen a harmonica player?
No. I've not seen a harmonica.
There's an idea for you.
It's kind of hard.
Why?
It's kind of hard to blow harmonica constantly. It's just because it's in and out, in and out, in and out all the time. Whereas saxophone and guitar playing, it's not that physically. You can't go on and on and on playing harmonica. It's a stamina thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I'm sure, a little harder than just strumming on the guitar. Or, well, then again, like the flute and the sax players, that's got to be a little bit more wear and tear on the body. So yes, those are the guys you want to give a little more money to. They're a little more expensive.
As long as they're good. And that's the whole thing. If they're good, I'm shelling out extra cash.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with people playing on the street. A lot of people like it. Entertainment. You know, you're out taking a walk with your stroll with your wife downtown. You just had dinner or something and you stop and listen to somebody play for a while.
Right.
Grab a couple bucks out of his case and split.
Go for a coffee down the road.
Yeah. That's what a panhandler would do. Somebody else that's living on the street and sees that case there with all the money. And you think they steal it or try sometimes or beg him for money? You're performing on the street, making a little bit of money and putting some effort into it. And so-and-so comes by and says, hey, you got a cigarette or can I have a couple bucks out of here so I can get a coffee?
I don't think that happens that often.
Do you think panhandlers panhandle from another panhandler?
No, I don't think that happens either.
If you can figure that out?
No, I can't figure that out. You're making my brain hurt.
And what about the groups? Groups of them get together and do things together. Or somebody steals a purse and it's for a little group, you know, not just for yourself. And that way they, you know, bring in the resources for more people.
It's like a family affair.
Sort of. Family affair.
Do you think that goes on? Yeah. It's not a...
I'm sure it does.
It's all for
one. And I was just watching a movie not too long ago about that kid that was like a child prodigy guitar player. And in it is the guy that's kind of running the show that has musicians out and people stealing and getting things. Robin Williams. Robin Williams is the main guy, but they make money for him on the street. And they all meet in not a warehouse, but almost like an old theater that's abandoned kind of thing. And the kids all live in there and stuff like that.
It's like an Oliver Twist kind of thing?
Yeah, I suppose a little bit.
And it's kids though. He's like pimps out the kids. Is,
yeah, sort of. And then the kid becomes a big star and everything.
The kid becomes a big star, the guitar player.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about his parents finding him somehow through telepathy. They end up knowing where to go or him finding his parents, is it? I can't recall now, but it was actually a really cool movie. And it's, you know, got something to do with music, so you'd probably dig it. I'll try and find the name. It was recently at the theater, probably.
Okay. Not so too long ago. You put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Jabbercast show notes. Everybody look for the Jabbercast show notes.
They ain't coming.
Have fun.
Big JD puts the show notes up before the show. That's the show notes.
The show notes are the show.
The show notes is the show.
And the only show notes that we go by are the show notes that we make ourselves, and we don't put them online.
No. Because no one would understand.
There's no need. If there's somewhere to go online, we tell you where it is and, you know, that sort of thing. But one thing that you do want to know is where to pick up the podcast after the live show, you know, so that you can download it to your iPod. You can put it on a CD or something, listen to it in the car. You know, if you miss them, you know where to get it. It's at www.thejabbercast.com.
And you can get a hold of us by email by going, no. Hear me out at thejabbercast.com. Oh my God, all tongue-tied there.
That's right. Hear me out at thejabbercast.com, and as well, you can leave us a recorded message
on the My Chingo widget, which is on the Jabbercast website under the contact page. Do you think most people are listening to the show as a podcast. What do you think?
Probably. We have our group of listeners, but yeah, podcast makes it really easy for people. And we just did the show last week on complaints and complainers, and we had the interview there, and the woman that I had interviewed, Lorna, she called me and said, you know, she wanted to check out the show now because she had to work Sunday, so she wasn't able to listen to it live. Mm. And she was at the WKBR website. And I said, no, you got to go to Jabbercast, and told her to open up her browser. And it went nice and smooth. And this is somebody that never really listened to online radio before. Open up your browser, go to Jabbercast, click on the podcast. You up comes the list there, as long as you have the latest version of Internet Explorer, which will show the RSS.
Sure, I got that.
She's got the list. And the top one is our show. And she clicked on it and was able to listen to the show.
This is after we recorded that show?
Yeah, once the show went up.
Oh, like within the last few days you've done that?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was actually last night. She was what day is today? It's Tuesday. So 2 days ago we did it, and then she wanted to listen to it on Monday, and she needed a little bit of help to get there.
Tell her to spread the word.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
She is spreading the word.
People got to know about podcasts. People got to know about podcasts, because she's never listened to them before, and it was that easy for her to get it.
Yeah. And something else that she probably doesn't even realize at all is just the plethora of podcasts that are available under the genres that of things that you like and like to do and are, you know, right. hobbies that you have. If you're a sewer, there's all kinds of them on sewing, audio podcasting and video podcasts now.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you like to fish, or if you like exercising, or you like technology.
Beer.
There's got to be a beer podcast.
There's a few.
There you go. How about traveling? You want to talk about traveling, wandering perhaps?
Yeah. Where, like I just said, like San Francisco is full of homeless people. Where do those homeless people come from?
Yeah. Like I had mentioned, you know, we're in this city here and it's nothing happening, you know, and, you know, I know there's going to be more restaurants and more garbage pails and more people to pickpocket and steal purses from.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Are you keeping me awake?
Fall asleep here. There he goes in his cardboard box. So yeah, there's more resources for you in a bigger city maybe. And so they start flocking. And I'm sure that's part of the reason why there's more and more homeless people in bigger cities.
Yes. What I notice in San Francisco is a lot of the homeless people there are black people, but there are not a lot of black people in San Francisco.
Yeah, only the homeless.
Only the homeless people are the black people. That's the majority of not to say anything about black people, but I'm just saying it was kind of a phenomenon that I noticed. And when I was standing at that corner waiting across the street, there was some guy who's trying to help homeless people. He was with another person. He had some clipboard in his hand. And I think they were trying to create some kind of database for all the homeless people that are on the streets of San Francisco.
Well, they have to get their statistics from somewhere, somehow, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Government, whatever.
That's hard, though, I have to imagine. But anyway, yeah, they were doing some stuff, and they asked the guy where he was from. This guy was from Indiana. I just happened to overhear, you know. So that's what I'm thinking. All these people congregate to, for one thing, it's a little warmer there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
It's easier to live on the street. There's no snow in San Francisco, let's put it that way. And there's some snow here.
And there's the Apple merchandise store in...
That's Cupertino.
Yeah,
nearby. No homeless people in Cupertino.
I know what I was going to say now.
Okay, go ahead.
It was just the fact that there are probably documentaries on homeless and that kind of thing. I don't know how many or lately, but, you know, they probably, a lot of homeless people living on the streets, have interesting tales to tell. I bet their stories are very interesting. How they got there, why they're there, what they do when they are there, and, you know, the things that go on day to day, what their life consists of.
Because
we know we have our routines. The alarm clock goes off. You get up, you shower, you go to work, you're finished work, and you stop by the store to pick up a couple of things, groceries that you need, and you come home and you cook and you do this, and you're going to watch a movie, and you know what I mean? And a lot of them have a routine of some kind, which probably is obviously very different than ours. You know, it's sleep till whatever time. Be careful of what, you know, at such and such a time, I have to get up and move to a different location.
Right.
And then I got to, you know, bring my shopping cart over to blah, 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 and pick up these things. And then I know I get cigarettes over here, and there's people over here that I can get this from. And I know that this place will put stuff out the back door. It's, you know, it's a whole nother lifestyle.
Sure. And it's a routine. That's a good point. That it is a routine. And for them to get out of that routine is hard because they're getting by and they're living a routine and, you know, they're doing their thing.
And even to try and get someone like that and put them into a whole nother lifestyle of, you know, here's some money, we get you a place and we'll see about, you know, your skills and maybe look for some kind of work for you and that kind of thing. And that would probably really disrupt their lifestyle too. But wouldn't a whole documentary on that and maybe doing that, and maybe taking a group of people and doing something with them, that's a whole other reality show. And that'd be phenomenal. And somebody's going to scam my idea and I'm going to have to hire another lawyer. Making a documentary about a lot of them and their lives. You know, maybe this guy was a professional such and such.
Probably.
You know, this guy was an artist of some kind. Or this guy, you know, had it all. And how did they get there? Or he was from some other place and had an interesting story in life. Or, you know, there's got to be a lot of interest there. And I think it would be fun for somebody to watch too.
Sure. So we're going to Vancouver then.
Absolutely.
And this is all you got to do is get the grant money.
We should put together a proposal and move forward with it. It's just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And did you just think of it just now?
Yes. I have all the questions ready for everybody too. And I know the whole way the story's going to go. And I know part two. After this is all done and everything comes out of the theater and the whole shebang, we have part two. Of course, we do the film festivals and everything. It's a documentary.
So the part two is a follow-up of the same people that were in part one? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think it would be those. We would take a group of those people. You know, we talk to people about their lives and all that. And we pick, you know, 3 to 5 people or something like that. I'd say a nice group, like 5, 6. And we try and do something to them through government and everything. We get Michael Moore involved. We're ready to rock and roll here. We don't play around at the Jabbercast.
Michael Moore is he's a friend of the downtrodden.
Yeah. So, and if that works to some degree, then maybe we can start a foundation. The Big JD and Lippo Foundation for the Homeless. I like the ring of that.
That's a big ring. In Vancouver, I know they have, there's a very specific section of the downtown area where they, a lot of the drug guys go. There's a methadone clinic there, I think. Yeah. And there's nurses that go into the alleys and see people shooting up and say, whoa, whoa, stop.
How about a song for all the
homeless people?
Yeah.
Street people. It's not necessarily homeless. It's people who are wise to the street.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
What do you got for us this week, Big JD?
From the new CD by Anushka Shankar, Ravi Shankar's daughter.
Full-blown daughter?
Full-blown daughter.
Okay.
Because we know Norah Jones is her half-sister, his daughter with... they're not from the same mother. Ravi Shankar's on here. Norah Jones is on here. It's on the CD.
Family affair.
And Sting, the song that I wanted to play actually this week, was featuring Norah Jones. It's Anushka Shankar, and the song's called Easy.
It's only love. It's only love. You know how it feels. Feeling is easy. I know.
Okay, there you have Easy, Anoushka Shankar featuring Norah Jones on Anoushka's new CD, 2007, called Breathing Underwater.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
What's happening in the technology world?
Well, we went to the Apple store yesterday and I got a cool piece of technology.
Yeah, what is that?
It's called the Time Capsule.
Cool.
And it's there's two versions. There's a 500 megabyte version and there's a 1 terabyte version. And basically what it is, it's a external hard drive that has the router built in. So,
and did we discuss this before about you saying it's an external hard drive with the router built in, and I say it's the router with the external hard drive?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I listened to that show already. So we have said it if you listen to the other show.
What is the other show? Another show that we produce, the EasyMacPodcast.com. Yes.
It's EasyMacPodcast.com.
Oh, it's not the EasyMac.
No.
Yeah, I get mixed up.
I know. You're easily mixed up. No, anyway, so this Time Capsule, what it does is you plug your internet into it, and then it acts just like a regular wireless router. However, it's also got a hard drive built into it. And if you own a Macintosh computer, the backup system that is in the latest operating system, Leopard, has a technology called Time Machine, and it automatically backs up your computer to a hard drive that you specify. So this makes it easy and relatively thoughtless way to back up. There's no thought into it. You just turn back a Time Machine on and it automatically will back up to your Time Capsule. And it also, anybody on the network can access that hard drive.
Or back up to it.
Or back up to, I'm just thinking like visitors who come in.
And does it, would it specify a certain folder for anybody that's backing up with different computers
it
to it?
It does it automatically.
Yeah, that's cool. Jabber quote.
Jabber quote, jabber quote, jabber quote.
What do you got for us this week, Lippo?
We got a pause button.
Okay, this week's Jabber Quote is brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of homeless shelters for street people everywhere.
Cardboard boxes of all sizes, shapes, and colors.
Nice.
Henry Louis Mencken says, you can't do anything about the length of your life, but you can do something about its width and depth.
Our life is 3D.
Is it?
I think, well, it might be
3D looking or 3D existing?
Existing.
Okay.
It could actually be even more. It should be more. We should be able to live in the 3D aspect of our life. Then there's the spiritual side of your life. And then there's the stuff that we don't even see in that other realm.
So, okay, obviously the first part, you can't do anything about the length of your life, and you can't.
Nope.
But you can to some degree, I suppose. I mean, you take care of yourself, blah, 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 blah.
Or you could commit suicide.
Sure.
That you have.
But generally speaking, I guess, you know, you live how long you're going to live, whatever that is, I guess. Right. And but you can do something about its width and depth. I guess that's not about how long you live, but how you live and what you fill it up with. Some people can do more than others.
Yep.
Or pack more things into their life than somebody else. So you're sort of, you know, you're filling up your life. You know, you're making it big and robust.
And width, wide, I should say.
That's width. Yeah. Then there's depth. How deep, you know, did you go through your life? Yeah. What did you get yourself into? And
Some people just skim on the surface the whole time.
Exactly, yeah. And not necessarily amount to anything or accomplish anything and, you know, just get by. And
just getting by.
Yeah. So that's a pretty neat quote.
It's a neat quote because it...
It kind of ties in with what we've talked about today for sure.
Yeah. I had a quote too from Victor Hugo.
Oh, okay.
He's been one of our quoters before, hasn't he? I'm pretty sure. He says, do not ask the name of the person who seeks a bed for the night. He who is reluctant to give his name is the one who most needs shelter. Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't want to give their name is typically someone who definitely needs a place to stay. According to Victor Hugo.
So next week on the Jabbercast,
interesting places.
Ooh, and you're on a little trip as this is airing.
Yes,
road trip.
Yep.
For March break, and you know you might have something interesting to discuss about your trip.
Maybe I should bring the mic track with me.
Why not? Maybe you'll get an interview or something.
I will get an interview. I promise everybody, I'll talk to somebody about it.
It'd be nice to listen to you talk to somebody.
You talking to me?
You talking to me?
BigJD.com. interesting places. There are many of them. We'll fit in as many as time will permit. Some will have, some we will have been to, some we have not. Where have you been? Let us know your interesting places that you've visited.
That's right. If you've been to any place interesting, go to the contact page at www.thejabbercast.com. Leave us a message there from the comfort of your own desk and computer microphone.
Yes, it's very comfortable here. I need a pillow.
You're not. I need a cardboard box. So that's this week's Jabbercast.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved in the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.